This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
It's easy for anybody to pick up one piece. That's a very tangible, accomplishable thing. And our belief is that if you take that individual act and multiply it by millions of people, then you can create real significant change.
Anyone who's on social media knows how often you can be inundated with picayune details of your friends' daily lives. But what if all that oversharing could be turned into something productive and beneficial? What if instead of just being a source of information on what your high school friend had for lunch today or how great your niece's new shoes look, social media could work to create a buzz around something really important, like picking up litter? Today's guest on Sea Change Radio, Jeff Kirshner, has figured out how to harness the oversharing tendency of social media users to help us all clean up our act. The new platform Litterati enables everyone with a smartphone to find litter, pick it up, and deposit it, not only into a trash receptacle, but into a data repository with a multitude of uses. Kirshner explains how this platform is generating a mountain of detailed data about litter, creating a mechanism for crowdsourced pressure on corporations, and inspiring people of all ages to be better stewards of our planet. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Jeff Kirshner. He's the founder of Litterati. Jeff, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
What is Litterati?
We are using Instagram to clean the planet one piece of litter at a time. And the way it works is that you find a piece of litter, you photograph it with Instagram, you add the hashtag Litterati, and then you throw out or recycle the litter. And through that process, we're able to capture quite a bit of data around where litter is concentrating, and the most commonly found brands and product types.
And in terms of the entire waste stream, is there some kind of communication between the users of this crowdsourced technology and the end point of this trash, the waste management companies, the municipalities, et cetera?
There have been some companies that have started to take notice. Ben & Jerry's, Nature Valley, Big Sky Brewery, they've seen some of their products that have been picked up on the ground and labeled Litterati on Instagram. And some of those companies have actually reached out to the individual community members and made comments such as, hey, while we are thrilled people are enjoying our products, you know, we don't appreciate that somebody is then throwing the packaging on the ground. In one case, Nature Valley actually reached out to that individual Litterati member and said, please email us. We'd love to send you free product because, you know, you're contributing to a greater good and we appreciate that.
So let's say I have Instagram on my phone and I am walking through my local park and I see this big pile of trash that just sets my blood boiling. How would I use Litterati to alert some people about it?
So in that scenario, it's probably not the ideal tool because it's going to be less about collecting specific data about those brands. But that being said, at the very least, you'd be creating some level of awareness with the broader community that, hey, here's clearly a problem area that we need to bring some attention to.
So the brand specificity, how does that work?
It all works in the tagging. So the majority of our users, and I'm going to say 95%, are photographing individual pieces of litter. We're doing about 1,000 pieces a week right now. We should cross over 58,000 pieces in total sometime tomorrow. But what's happening is that people are photographing, let's say, a Starbucks cup or a Snickers wrapper. And in the caption area where they're writing, you know, hashtag Litterati or hashtag Snickers bar or hashtag Starbucks, that's where we're able to understand which of these brands are being found.
So it could just be one Snickers wrapper on the street, and it's really kind of putting a face behind that piece of litter, if you will, if you the brand is as the face. Is that the idea behind it?
I think that's a great way of putting it. Our vision is to create a litter-free planet. Our strategy for doing so is to create the world's database of litter. Why? Because we believe that data is a really good way to getting us to try and solve what is clearly becoming a massive global problem.
One piece of litter at a time.
One piece of litter at a time. And to your point about putting a face on that one piece of litter, we believe that having that level of detailed information, we've picked up 1,000 Starbucks cups, 500 Marlboro cigarette butts, 10 Snickers wrappers, is the sort of information we need to have a conversation with some of these companies. And the idea is not to be antagonistic, not to be confrontational. The idea is to be creative and collaborative with these companies and say, listen, we're not suggesting you're directly responsible for littering the planet, but clearly your products are making their way to our playgrounds and our rivers and our oceans. So let's find a way to work together, because it's obviously not good for the environment. And from a marketing perspective, it's not great for your brand. So that's the general idea of how we are beginning to approach working with some of these companies.
So I'm sure critics of this would look at it and say, well, these are smug middle-class people feeling good about themselves when they look, I have a fancy phone and I'm on Instagram. I have a Wi-Fi connection. So I'm already in the top 5% of the global fortunate people. But here I am picking up my Snickers wrapper and I'm going to tell the world about it. There's more to it, obviously, than this. How are you hoping that you can overcome that kind of veneer?
I think that's an interesting challenge, and I've been asked this before. One of the benefits that a technology like Instagram brings is that there's an installed user base of 200 million people. And what Literati has started to do is take what have traditionally been these isolated activities. Somebody picks up a bottle cap in Sydney and somebody picks up one in Seattle. Those actions, you know, have never been shareable before because of the social media, that the technologies that are available to us today because of Instagram. What we're doing is amplifying those individual actions to a point where that person in Seattle recognizes they're not alone. There's somebody in Sydney doing the same exact thing. So to your question specifically about, you know, some of the top 5% who are able to have these devices and feel this, you know, self-motivating, look at me experience, in a way, that's great. If that can help bring more awareness to this problem because it's amplified on social media, terrific.
If somebody's familiar with following certain friends on Facebook, there's a lot of people who are always taking pictures of what they just cooked and a lot of things that most of us don't really care about. And if those people are going to say, look at me, at least it would be something productive. Is that kind of the idea?
That's exactly right. And if I go outside right now and pick up a cigarette butt and there's no record of it, did that action really count? Well, of course it counted. But now take that same action and put it within the Literati experience, and suddenly there's a trail of it. There's data associated with it. Each photograph is geotagged, so we know exactly where I picked up that cigarette butt. Each photograph is tagged by what I've just picked up, so we know it was a cigarette butt. We know who picked it up, me, and we also have a timestamp with each photograph so we know when I picked it up. And if you extrapolate that out to tens of thousands or even millions of people, now you take an individual action and you create a significant impact. And that's really the idea.
Say you're RJ Reynolds and somebody comes to you from Literati and says, look, 20% of the cigarettes that are being photographed in the southeast of the United States are your products. In an ideal world, how could they respond to that?
Well, I can give you a real life example of something that's happened now. The city of San Francisco recently conducted a comprehensive litter study specifically to understand the makeup of tobacco related material as a percentage of overall litter. Why? Because they use that information for the excise tax. So every pack of cigarettes that is sold has a 20-cent tax placed on it, 1 penny per cigarette butt. And that money, that revenue, is used to help clean up the city. So can I tell you how Philip Morris or RJ Reynolds would respond? I can't. I do think that there's an opportunity to take them from being the villain in the story and give them the opportunity to be the hero. I mean, imagine if Philip Morris or R.J. Reynolds said, okay, you know what? We do recognize that there's a massive problem. There are innumerable cigarette butts all over the planet. Nobody can deny that. So we've just created a street team, and we're going to start on block one, and we're going to walk block to block to block and clean up the cigarette butts. We know that it's going to make a small dent in this overall problem, but it's a start.
Or how about they invent something that disposes of their product while, you know, that's attached, that comes with your pack of cigarettes, so you can start having your own little Coke can, basically, that would dispose of your cigarette butts, and people get in the habit of not just throwing them on the ground.
Exactly. Take either of those two examples, either a street team or this, you know, personalized ashtray. The positive PR from that alone would be good for their brand, and it would take very little effort. You know, our attitude is, when working with companies, they're driven by profit, right? They have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. They're not in the business of cleaning the planet. They're in the business of selling cigarettes or selling candy bars or selling more coffee. We completely understand that. So in order to create any campaign that makes sense, it has to work for their bottom line. And so approaching that relationship with that in mind, as opposed to an antagonistic one, hey, the planet's dirty, you're part of the problem, help clean it up, we think that having a more positive approach will lead to a better success for all of us.
Sitting in the morning sun and watching all the birds passing by. Oh, how sweet they sing, and oh, how much I wish that I could fly. And I try, I said I try, I try, I really try, 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 but I got to pick myself up, dust myself.
Follow the shift to sustainability with SeaChange Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking with the founder of Literati, Jeff Kirshner. So how did you get the inspiration to start Literati, Jeff?
I was walking in the Oakland Hills with my two little kids, and my daughter noticed that somebody had thrown a tub of cat litter into a creek. And she looked at me and said, Daddy, that doesn't go there. And that was really the eye-opening moment for me. And when she said that, it reminded me of when I used to go to camp in upstate New York. And I'd go away during the summer, and before they'd let our parents come on visiting day, our camp director would say, all right, everybody, quick, go out and pick up 5 pieces of trash. So now you had 100 kids each picking up 5 pieces, and within a few minutes, we had a much cleaner camp. So I thought, well, why can't we apply that same crowdsourced model to the entire planet? And that was really the inspiration for Literati. And what happened next was rather interesting. I took a photograph using Instagram of a cigarette butt. And I noticed that because of Instagram, the photo was pretty cool. And then I took another one and another one. And at the end of a couple of days, I noticed two things happening to me. The first was litter suddenly became approachable. I was never an active environmentalist, and I certainly wasn't a good photographer. But suddenly I realized that that was no longer blight on the ground. It was a cool photo op. The second thing that was interesting that started happening to me, and frankly, the thing that was a lot more powerful, was at the end of a couple of days, I'd picked up, you know, I'd taken 10 photographs and therefore picked up 10 items. I realized that I was having an impact. I was keeping a record of the impact that I was having on the planet. That was 10 less things on the ground. I had no idea from a quantifiable perspective what that meant. I just knew it was good. So I started sharing it with people. And that's really how Literati got started.
And this might be a little of an inside baseball question, but why is Instagram the platform and not Twitter? Or could people do both?
It started out as just sort of dumb luck. It was just what I was holding in my hand at the time. I did not realize at all that there was the capability on Instagram to capture all this data. At first, I was just taking photographs because artistically they were more interesting than if I were to just pick up a cigarette butt. It was more enjoyable. The process was more enjoyable for me. It wasn't until a little bit later on when we had built literati.org and built a photo gallery of all these images that people were taking that we realized that, wow, there's data attached to each and every photograph. What if we could use that data to actually be smarter about the way we treat the planet? So that's why we started on Instagram. We have kept it that way for two reasons. One, simplicity, right? We have very limited resources, and it's just a great platform with an installed base of 200 million people worldwide for us to test and explore and see what'll work and what won't. And two, Instagram is a very... It's a platform that is meant to share moments. Twitter is much more conversation happening back and forth. It's multi-directional, right? You're putting out content because you want to share something about yourself or an article that you've read, content that you enjoy. But many times there's a back and forth between people that are following you. Instagram doesn't tend to be like that. It's a much more unidirectional platform. That being said, people are starting to talk a lot about Literati on Twitter. Some people have used Twitter as a photography platform for the Literati experience, and eventually we'll look to migrate to other platforms. But today, it's built on top of Instagram.
And is there any technology built into Instagram that allows automatic brand identification? How does that work?
That's a great question. So to my knowledge, there is not, but there is a lot of photo recognition software that is out there. It is not perfect, and you can imagine that as items on the ground reach, you know, high levels of decay, it can be hard to identify either what they are or certainly what brand they are. Eventually, we'll get to automated photo recognition that will instantly tell us the content of a photograph, but for today, it's our community, the Literati community, that is driving all of the tagging. People are placing in their caption what they're picking up.
And you mentioned the website literati.org earlier, but it's not a nonprofit. Explain the thinking behind being a for-profit model and how do you make money?
So after a lot of research and a lot of conversations with a lot of different people, I decided to go become a for-profit. But our goal is to become what's known as a B Corporation, which is essentially a social enterprise. Our reason for being here is to create a social impact. But we believe that the best way to do that is to leverage some of the for-profit model that exists. How we're making revenue now is, and we're in our infancy, we're just getting started, but we've had a couple of really opportunistic things happen. The first is we're doing a lot of work with schools. We actually believe that education and working with schools is a really big opportunity, not only for us as an organization, but also for changing real habit in the world, right? If you're going to change habit, who better to do that with than younger students? And we recently signed a contract with the city of San Francisco to do a pilot program in the fall with 20 schools in the city. We also recently won a proposal in Alameda County to help students in schools measure their impact on the planet through picking up litter, and more broadly, help those students understand the effects of litter on the watershed, on the bay, on rivers, on the ocean.
So would like the San Francisco School District pay Literati for your hands-on tutorial with the students in these 20 schools?
That and the technology. So we've now built a platform that allows any individual, organization, school to measure their impact. So we give each school a private page that allows them to see what they've picked up, how much they've picked up, when they've picked it up, where they've picked it up. And what's happening now with schools that have been using the Literati platform is, depending on the age and the resources they have, they'll go out either onto their campus or into their local community. They may go out for 10 minutes at a time if it's a younger, you know, if it's elementary kids, or half an hour.
Well, those elementary kids have to be on Instagram and have phones, right?
Great point. So we have several elementary schools that have been using the Literati platform. They're typically led by their teachers with iPads. And in fact, one of my favorite examples is there's a school in Modesto, California called the John C. Fremont Elementary School. Fourth and fifth graders, they go out onto their campus. They've picked up nearly 1,000 items already, and we instantaneously break down and analyze all the data so they can go out for 10 minutes, come right back into the classroom, and assess what they've done. But this particular school has noticed over time, in the last couple of months, let's say, that the number one thing they're finding, the most commonly found piece of litter for them, is plastic, which isn't a surprise. But for them, it's the plastic that comes from the individually wrapped straws in their cafeteria. So now these kids are starting to put together a presentation to take to their principal and to their school district to say, do we really need to have individually wrapped plastic straws? Why can't we buy in bulk? And we'll get a bulk, we'll get a dispenser because we understand hygiene is critical. And now that's a good example of using the data to work top down, essentially to use the information that Literati can provide to prevent litter from hitting the ground in the first place.
All your ears have turned away, but now's the time to look and look again at what you see. Is that the way it all stays? That's the way it ought to be. Oh, don't you know that?
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the founder of Literati, Jeff Kirshner. Literati is a social networking platform that chronicles people picking up litter. So you're talking about the Literati platform. Is it built on top of Instagram or is it separate?
So the entire experience for anybody who's using, let me back up. The entire experience for participating in the Literati is through Instagram. All of our data is kept on our own platform. So we do all the analysis of the data, the mapping, all of that through our own platform, but right now it's as simple as if you have Instagram, you can be part of the Literati.
Is there an app that people can download for Literati? How do they access the platform? Is it your website with lots of information on it?
Exactly. It's just literati.org. And for any school or organization or individual that wants to measure their own impact, right, to just see what they've done, we give them a private link. So essentially, our database is built in a way that's completely filterable. If you go onto literati.org right now, you'll see three things. You'll see a photo gallery of all the pictures that are being taken around the world. You'll see a map that indicates the precise point on the planet where everything is being picked up. And you'll see an index of the most commonly found brands and product types. But that's the aggregate. If you want to see, just show me all the Starbucks stuff, we can give you that information. If you want to see just what John Doe has picked up, we can give you just that information. If you want to see just what was picked up in San Francisco last Tuesday, we can show you that information. Or if you want to see just what John Doe picked up last Tuesday in San Francisco that was a Starbucks cup, we can give you that information. So the idea is we believe that there's power in allowing people to see what they've done that's a positive for the planet.
Is there a chance for Literati to work with companies to pay for your services? What is kind of the end game, do you think, your long-term revenue model? You talked about how short-term you're working with school districts and other nonprofits, but how do you hope to bridge the gap with corporate America beyond alerting them that their products are being used as litter?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. I don't think I have a good answer for you. What I can tell you is that I believe that if we create significant value for the planet, for a brand, for individuals, the money will follow. Our goal is really simple. It's to create a litter-free planet. The only way that we think that we can do that is by collecting as much information as possible. And then frankly, open that up to people who are a lot smarter than I am to start to make sense of it all so that we can use this data to be smarter about where we place trash cans and recycling units. If we notice that there's a problem hotspot over there, maybe we need to allocate our resources differently. Or to be smarter about product packaging, maybe we can bring companies like Starbucks and Pepsi and Marlboro to the table so that they can say, you know what, there's got to be a better way. We believe that somewhere, if we create enough value in that process, we'll be able to generate revenue. We just finished completing a litter study for the city of San Francisco. And there's an interesting opportunity, we believe, to create a litter profile for different cities so that they can just be smarter about how people are, you know, what's on the ground.
So earlier in our conversation, I asked about, could I alert people that there's a little patch of litter in a certain area? Now, I know that that's not the model right now. It's more of identifying the type of litter, but I can think of half a dozen spots in my day-to-day routine where I park and I see this little spot right next to the freeway, and it's just, it looks like a place where you'd be filming the crying Indian from when sure. we were kids,
the commercial.
Yeah, the commercial where there's tires in the background and stuff. But your model is not really able to chronicle large volume of litter, but how would you be able to tackle that problem, like bigger areas that haven't been cleaned up that need to be cleaned up in a crowdsourcing model?
Yep. So we're actually in the midst of developing something specifically to handle larger volumes of litter, because unfortunately that's the reality of many of our cities. But there are also wonderful applications out there that exist today. Like, I don't know if you've heard of C-Click Fix, but there are applications that encourage citizens to report problems. And that could be a broken fire hydrant, that could be, you know, some illegal dumping. But the idea behind those applications are to leverage citizens to report those problems and then have somebody from government come and take care of that problem.
We actually did a piece with IBM's. It was a crowdsourcing app for water cleanup where citizens could basically say this little creek near me is polluted, and using their GPS on their phone, they could identify where it was, and it would just give people a matrix of where the hotspots are for water cleanup. Right. I think it was called Creek Watch.
With an individual piece of litter, that's just not a reality. It's not feasible either from a timing perspective or from an economic perspective for me to snap a photo of one particular candy wrapper and expect that somebody would then come out and pick it up. A, to your point earlier, that candy wrapper will probably blow away by the time somebody arrives. And B, I can pick it up. It's a really simple act.
That's really what this is about, is people cleaning up and chronicling it.
That's exactly right. And look, there are things like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, right? This flotilla of plastic in the Pacific Ocean that's twice the size of Texas. And there are, you know, innumerable cigarette butts and litter everywhere you look. When you think about the problem, it can seem really insurmountable. Like, what difference could I possibly make? The reality is you can make a difference with one piece. It's easy for anybody to pick up one piece. That's a very tangible, accomplishable thing. And our belief is that if you take that individual act and multiply it by millions of people, then you can create real significant change.
He's the founder of Litterati, Jeff Kirshner. Jeff, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by The Average White Band, Peter Tosh, and Led Zeppelin. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.